I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. It's the end of an era for one city leader while events march on for another. This hour, we'll talk with the mayors of the Kansas cities, Joe Reardon, who will be stepping down after two terms on the Kansas side, and Sly James, who is nearing the halfway mark of his first term in Missouri. We'll discuss how helpful it is to have good relations between the two, whether Google has been everything it was touted to be, and the proposal for a new airport terminal. A mayoral summit on Up to Date after this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Two men more closely identified with their cities than perhaps anybody else are sitting here in front of me this morning. Sly James is the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. Joe Reardon is the mayor of Kansas City, Kansas, but not for much longer. The inauguration of Wyandotte County's new mayor and CEO, Mark Holland, is just 3 days away. Today, a conversation with the two mayors of Kansas City, Sly James and Mark Holland. Mayor James, welcome back. Always good to have you here.
It's nice to see you again, Steve. It's always nice to hang out with Joe Reardon as well.
And Mayor Reardon, good to have you here,
too. It's great to be here, Steve. Great to be here with Sly.
Well, how ready are you to step down, Mayor Reardon? I mean, has the time come, or are you going to have to pry your hands off the controls over there, or are you ready to go?
No worries about that. Mark Holland's in the building today and getting down to business. So it's been a great 8 years, and it's time to move on. So
you're ready to go?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's next for you? Have you announced your next move yet?
Haven't announced my next move yet. My intention is to remain in the Kansas City area as far as work is concerned. I'm a proud KCK resident. I'm going to continue to do that. So I think in the coming weeks you'll hear about what I'm up to. It may be one thing, it may be a couple, so I'm looking forward to it.
Is your political career over?
I grew up in a political family. My dad was mayor, my grandfather was county commissioner, and I've learned long ago never to say never. So
that's a famous slogan in American politics.
That's
never
exactly
say
right.
Mayor.
That's exactly
never say never.
Right,
you bet.
Right.
Yeah. Mayor James, you're losing a close ally, just across the way there.
You're right, and I can tell you that I've seen him since the announcement, and I can tell you he's not going to have to be pried away. I've never seen him bouncier or happier or looser. I think he's the burden is lifted, and he's looking forward to it. The good news is that he has been a good friend, a good ally, a good mentor. We've worked well together, but I have every confidence we're going to be able to continue that with the new mayor, Mark Holland, and continue to strive for a true regional approach.
You know, Mayor Reardon, there is a sense, I imagine, you hear presidents of this country sort of talk about the burden leaving their shoulders once they leave office. I know mayor's a different thing, but still, there is a sense that you are in charge of your county 24/7. That has to carry with it a certain weight, a certain obligation that will no longer be with you in just about 72 hours.
No, here. True enough. And, you know, I've enjoyed every minute of it. So I've loved being mayor, and I've loved having that responsibility, quite frankly. But, you know, over the weekend, for instance, I was out at the racetrack. It was a wonderful weekend. But, you know, you sit there as mayor, and you're concerned. You want to make sure everybody has a good time and everyone's safe. And thank goodness we have wonderful people that work, dedicated people in our community that work day in and day out. They do a great job. But, yeah, it's the kind of job that if you treat it the way it should be treated, you're going to hold that responsibility and you're going to hold it tight to you all the time. And there's no doubt.
Mayor James, you're nodding your head as he speaks. There is a certain burden that goes along with being mayor.
Well, I think any time that you have serious people looking at serious issues and trying to resolve them in serious and correct ways, it can be burdensome. It's also true that sometimes part of the burden is being held responsible for things over which we have zero control. But the bottom line is that I think, first of all, being mayor is the best political job in this country. I wouldn't trade it for any other.
Because why?
Well, because we do have the ability to actually innovate and get things done. We have the ability to actually interact with our constituents every single day, solve real problems in real time, and we cannot push them off or slough them off. We have to respond to the needs of our citizens, and I think we have sometimes the ability to do that well, and working together, we have even more ability.
I was thinking this morning, Steve, and I just, you know, I was hearing on the radio that there's all the delays at the airports because there's now not enough air traffic controllers because of sequestration.
Right.
That would never happen. We're far too close to our constituents. If things started to fall apart like that, we would hear it as mayors immediately, and we would, and we'd want to take action, and we would. That kind of immediacy and direct connection to elected officials is amazing, and that's what makes local government, I think, really incredible. Incredible to serve, and I think it serves very well. It's the level of government that's still getting things done in the United States,
you know, frankly. Speaking of sequestration, I'm just wondering, you know, Mayor Reardon, as you leave office, I mean, the country certainly is entering a different era right now with things being pulled back, the money not being available for things for the cities like mass transit and other kinds of programs that you deal with every day. I'm just wondering, how different is it? How is it changing? And how difficult is the federal government making it for cities and urban areas going forward?
Well, it's very difficult. And, you know, Sly knows this as well at a different level. But for cities our size, you know, the ability to directly interact with the federal government to receive funding becomes much more narrow over time. And then for cities, you know, and I'll let Sly speak to this, but all of a sudden cities are in competition with one another for limited amounts of federal resources, and I just think it's harmful for the future. We need to invest in our future. The Google Fiber Project's a great example. In order for that to be an amazing thing for this city, it's got to be in other cities, and quite frankly, when you've looked at that kind of infrastructure in the past, the federal government has always been a key part and participant in making great infrastructure like our federal highway system. They are absolutely absent from the discussion about this next level of infrastructure as far as putting something real on the table. And I think over time, when you see that level of disinvestment and dysfunction, it's going to harm cities. And I think every mayor's greatly concerned about this.
Mayor James, what does it mean for cities? What does it mean for Kansas City going forward?
Well, it means things like the Prospect Max plan may be held up or seriously harmed, for example.
And what project is that again?
Project Max, or Prospect Max, the Max bus system,
right,
that's on Troost.
Right.
There's one plan for Prospect. But the problem is that is heavily dependent on federal funding, and there is nobody who can tell us what sort of federal funding there's going to be in the future for those types of projects. The Department of Transportation, the FTA, is still trying to figure out itself what kind of funding they're going to have. So all of those things trickle down. That's the bad side. The bad side is that we no longer can count on our federal and state partners to help where we really need help. The good side is that forces us to try to find different ways to do things. It forces innovation. It forces us to look at changing our approaches and doing things differently and more efficiently in order to be able to provide services. Truth be told, all of our budgets are static and going to remain static for some time or in shrinking. But the pressures on those budgets continue to increase. We have to find innovative ways to deal with that.
And my sense is, for both of you, you can't provide for your citizens everything you want to provide, not even close these days. And it's getting worse, Mayor Reardon. Am I seeing that right?
That's exactly right. And of course, local government lives within its means. We can't create debt to operate, correct? So if there's an investment to be made, we're going to have to fund that investment in a real way. If there's going to be a commitment to be made, keeping police officers on the street or firefighters responding to the calls, that's real money that we have to account for every single year. It's the right way to operate government. But certainly, if you don't have partners at the other levels, and I think it contemplates this partnership, it makes it even much more difficult to take significant steps forward. You become static, as Sly said. And no city that has a good mayor wants to be static.
You know, my sense is, from all outward appearances, the two of you have had a great relationship the last couple of years. Are there really things the two cities can do together moving forward, Mayor James, as you begin to work with Mayor Mark Holland?
There's always opportunities to move together and to move forward together. You know, in the past, when we talked about regionalism, we were talking about it as an intellectual or philosophical concept. Now we have a product that we can use and put our hands on and shape and find out how do we do this, and we have something to work with. In effect, we have some clay to mold. that can lead to other projects as well. We have a lot of opportunities to work together, and I think we're going to explore them. We have lands that are adjacent to each other that perhaps might be ripe for dual development or something along those lines. But we can also collaborate on issues that are fundamentally important. What do we do about education in this region, because we're all affected by it? How do we make sure we have a ready workforce? How about transportation? We need to be able to have transportation that gets people from KCK to KCMO and from KCMO to KCK.
Is there transportation right now that gets folks from one city to the other?
Well, I think together we've done really good about coordinating that effort. So we have what will be ultimately the equivalent of a MAX line being built in KCK right now along State Avenue that will start in Kansas City, Missouri, and end up all the way out at the Legends District. It's a major investment. We received stimulus dollars for it. We worked in cooperation with KCATA in a partnership there, and that's going to be something substantial. But we still don't have enough coordination around the region, around transit. It's not where it needs to be in this region, no doubt.
We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll turn our conversation with our two mayors to the single terminal concept out at KCI, a very controversial topic in our cities these days. But when we come back again, we'll turn our conversation to KCI. I'm Steve Kraske. Time for a break. And we're back. I am Steve Kraske. We're visiting with the two mayors of Kansas City, Mayor Sly James of Kansas City, Missouri, and Mayor Joe Reardon of Kansas City, Kansas. Mayor James, we have you just for a bit longer. Let's get some updates from you, and let's begin with the airport. Just yesterday, as you well know, a group of Kansas City residents filed paperwork with the city clerk's office to launch a formal challenge to the new single terminal airport. Lynn Horsley from The Star is reporting this morning that that effort is invalid for legal reasons. But still, this could be seen as a sign of dissatisfaction with the single terminal plan that you favor going forward. How do you respond to that and what folks are saying, the dissatisfaction with the single terminal plan?
Well, you know, I think that perhaps we're getting a little bit too out in front of ourselves. You know, one of the things that I know for sure is that because we failed to have conversations about our infrastructure over the past 20, 30 years, we now sit with about $6 billion of deferred maintenance on that infrastructure. The airport is a huge part of our infrastructure. All I propose at this time, and all the resolution that we passed proposed, is that we continue to examine this issue, moving towards what will be inevitable. At some point in time, we will get a new airport. Whether that's tomorrow is highly doubtful. This is a long, long process that's going to require a lot of conversation inside city government, outside city government with its citizens, etc. But we have to have the conversation. We shouldn't be afraid to talk about issues that are important. And I just have one very basic question, and the question that I'm going to try to find out is, does Kansas City and the citizens of Kansas City have the best possible airport that the city and the citizens deserve? And then when we answer that question, we'll know what to do. But at this point, we haven't answered that question.
Mayor James, you say the new airport is inevitable. Why? Because, again, a lot of folks listening might say, the airport we have is just fine. Keep it the way it is.
Because it's 40 years old and nothing lasts forever. I mean, it's going to fall apart at some point in time. Now, it's inevitable. Replacing houses is inevitable. Repaving streets is inevitable. If it wasn't inevitable, we'd still be flying out of Wheeler Field in downtown Kansas City. It's inevitable. It's going to happen at some point. So the question is, what is the optimal time? What is the maximum benefit? And again, the question at the end of the day is, does Kansas City and the citizens of Kansas City have the best possible situation that it can with regards to its airport? And how the citizens in the city answer that will determine what we do from there. And is an open question.
Is it also inevitable that we will have a single terminal airport as opposed to the three horseshoes that people, again, seem to like so much?
I don't know if that's inevitable or not. I can tell you this, that there are certain inefficiencies with our current system. For example, we have three horseshoes and one and a half of them are open. So it kind of makes you wonder, if you have three of something and you're only using one and a half of them, why would you want three? But that's just me. the question has to be answered, is this the best possible situation for Kansas City? And if everybody says it is, then I guess we live with it. If everybody says it's not, then I guess we change it. But we need to answer that question, and we need to do it based on a number of factors. And that's really, at this point, all I'm looking for is to have that long, drawn-out conversation about what's best for this city. That's the only thing, in my opinion, that should guide our decision.
Mayor Reardon, what's your take on this? What would you like to see happen up there? What are your citizens in Wyandotte County telling you about the airport?
Well, you know, KCI is the front door to the entire Kansas City region for lots of people. I would imagine thousands of people that were at the race this weekend in Kansas City, Kansas, came through KCI to get to our city. Yeah. So I think everyone has a vested interest in this, and everyone has an opinion, too. I think that it is inevitable that you're going to have to look at major reinvestment in our airport. And is our airport as a front door? Are we sending across the best message about who we are and what we're about in the current airport? I would say probably not. I think there needs to be major upgrades. The second thing is that I wish the conversation would be more of a conversation not for or against. But if you take a look at this airport when it was opened in 72, it was very innovative, very unique. It answered a lot of different needs. It's changed now, the way we travel by airplane. There's no doubt about it. But why not take that innovation and what we love about KCI and talk about how we can incorporate that into a re-envisioned airport for the future? That's the kind of conversation I think needs to happen.
And does that mean one and a half horseshoes as opposed to three, as Mayor James
well,
is talking
about?
Well,
I think we can't. Obviously, it's not all being used. If you've been out there lately, you'll walk long stretches where there's just empty gates. And it's a terrible waste and inefficiency to keep all of them open in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to have to get beyond to talk about whether it's one horseshoe, two horseshoes, and talk about what the future of this airport is going to look like. And I think that's going to require a bolder vision and a big, broad conversation, as Sly mentions here today. And we oughtn't be afraid about talking about what all the options are, but let's put on the table what are the things that we love about KCI and how might that work for the future. And let's be innovative like we were in 72 when it was built.
Couldn't Mayor
James,
agree more.
You do wonder about the future of flying. Kansas City is located geographically, obviously, right smack dab in the middle of the country. It's a great location to become more of a hub than what it is today. Would a new terminal, is that a possibility? How optimistic are you that our ability to become, again, home to major airlines grows with a new terminal?
Well, considering the way that airlines are consolidating and the economic upheavals they're going through, I can't possibly answer that. One thing that I do know, however, is that there are emerging airlines, smaller airlines, that are trying to get into the markets. And some that have approached KCI with getting into this market have found it difficult because of the configurations and the fact that when they need one gate, they have to take three. And those are types of things that I think we need to address. It's not a matter of what we're looking at today. When that airport was built 40 years ago, I don't think anybody was thinking, well, in the next 6 months, this is what air traffic is going to be like. They were thinking, what is air traffic going to be like in the next 20 years? That's where we need to be thinking, and what is going to situate us in the best way. I think, and I've always held this opinion, the things that everybody loves about this airport, we put in there. Why would we do something that would take them away without trying to put even better things in there? I mean, just because it's there now doesn't mean it's going away at any point in time. I think what we have to do is to decide on a number of levels. What do we need our airport to accomplish in terms of its civic and economic value? And what do we need our airport to accomplish in terms of its convenience and availability to the citizens of this region? And how do we get the best of both of those worlds?
Okay, we have to take a break again. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with the two Kansas City mayors, Joe Reardon and Sly James. We'll talk about Mayor James' push for a downtown hotel, downtown convention hotel, and Google Fiber. Has it been all that it's been cracked up to be? And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. We're visiting with our two mayors, Mayor Sly James of Kansas City, Missouri, Mayor Joe Reardon. He's the mayor and CEO of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County. Just a few updates here, gentlemen. Mayor James, you're still pushing for a downtown convention hotel. Tell us where that stands and what's been happening with all that.
We're still examining the options on that. We're looking for the perfect deal, and we'll continue to examine options and look for that deal. We recognize a couple of things. One of them is that in any city, you have two options with regards to your budget. You can either sell more product or you can make more cuts. We've made enough cuts. We need to sell more product. Our product is our city. We need more people coming into it. We need them staying longer. We need to invite more conventions in, and we need a hotel to do that. However, we are looking at doing that in the most fiscally responsible way possible, which is why we don't already have one.
You need a hotel. You also need a developer to do it. What's the process like in terms of finding a developer who might be willing to come in and take a stab at this thing?
It's ongoing, and we're doing fine in that area. We're just trying to find the perfect financing deal. Finding the developers is not nearly as hard as getting the right financing in place. That's always been the issue. And we're looking for one that that works for us in the best possible way.
6 months from now, are you going to be able to announce something, or what's your own sense of a timetable here?
I don't want to predict where we are in terms of timetables because I don't want to be proven wrong, or perhaps even proven right. All I can tell you is that we are looking at some options, and when we find the perfect option, we will move. If we don't find that, then we won't. We know that we need this, but we're trying to do this in the right way without putting the city's full faith and credit behind a deal, without incurring additional debt, without it being on our books as an asset or liability, all of those things. And it's extremely difficult, but we are, I tell you this, we're making some progress, but we're not there yet.
Different topic. Mayor Reardon, you're leaving office at the height of the Google fiber building boom over in your county. It's also happening in Kansas City, Missouri. Has that project been all it's been cracked up to be in your view, or where are you with that?
I think we're still at the beginning of realizing the full potential of the infrastructure that's being installed in our two cities. But it's been pretty amazing to see what's happened so far in the startup village and so many of the young entrepreneurs and those that want to innovate. Not only being here and getting excited, but now attracting a level of interest in individuals from other places coming to Kansas City. You know, a short time ago when we talked about innovation and the internet, I don't know if Kansas City would be mentioned among those places.
But that's changed now.
But that's changed now.
Oh,
not
wow.
just around this area, but it's changed across the country. I mean, arguably, this has raised our stature, this Kansas City region, in ways that so many other things haven't. And certainly it's in a niche around innovation, but that's a place where these cities want to be. And I think having, you know, the Kauffman Foundation here, a great institution that's able to really foster a lot of this, is really bringing back a direct connection with Kauffman and in these Kansas cities that to me is very exciting. So I think we're at the beginning of this coming together, and the potential and what we're seeing happen is the kind of thing that I think many, many cities across the country would love to see, which is businesses being grown, small businesses starting and being grown in your town.
Now, Mayor James, you do see Kansas City creeping up the list of cities that sort of are home to high-tech startups, entrepreneurial kinds of ventures. What are you seeing around town in terms of entrepreneurs coming to Kansas City, Missouri because of Google Fiber and wanting to make a run here?
Well, I see it quite a bit, but I want to go back just a moment to what Joe said. We were honored last week to go to Dallas together and receive an award for the collaborative effort regarding Google in our two cities from Broadband Magazine. And there were people from around the entire country and from Canada. And you know the city they were talking about? Kansas City. Okay, so that says something right there. Everybody wants to know what we're doing, how we're doing it. And we met with some Austin folks there and some other folks as well. Things are moving. People know where we are. I had a very interesting occasion when Code for America was in town. We had a reception at the Kauffman Center to meet four 19-year-olds from Boston who had driven from Boston to Kansas City to take advantage of Google Fiber. And the reason they did that is because they were working on software for 3D printers that would make it more commercially available to consumers. 19-year-olds drove from Boston to come to Kansas City. I think they're at the Startup Village doing that now. So, yes, we see that. We have Sony has moved a major operation to Union Station because of Google. We have ScreenPrint that's doing that. We have a bunch of video businesses that have come to Kansas City. Most of the video businesses in the state of Missouri are in Kansas City because of Google. This has tremendous potential, but it only has potential if we work it right.
Right.
And that's why the collaboration that Joe and I have tried to establish is so crucial.
And you know, a lot of the places where we're seeing these young entrepreneurs settle are right on the state line.
Right.
And I think, you know, one of the things that we can work on in this region is developing sort of these innovation hubs that cross the state line and offer opportunity within the two Kansas cities. There's a lot of excitement behind that, and I think we're at the beginning of it. And by the way, I think what's really important about economic development that we know from kind of exploring in this area is that our best companies in Kansas City, many of them were startups themselves,
mm-hmm.
Hallmark Cards, Cerner, and they're still the major companies and employers within our cities. I have a feeling that somebody in the startup village could be one of those kinds of companies at the end of the day. And as much as we're seeking to attract new businesses and people here, helping those grow right where they are, I think, is equally important. And figuring out how we can do that amongst the cities holds a great amount of potential for the Kansas City region.
You know, you both know that Kansas City is in a unique position right now. We've got an advantage over every other city in America because we got Google Fiber and no one else does right now. But that lead time is shrinking quickly with Austin coming online, announced just recently that city is also going to get Google Fiber. What about that? How much more time do we have, Mayor James, before we lose our competitive advantage I hear you guys talking about?
I'm going to take a slightly different approach and say that we had a competitive advantage to the extent that we were able to look at the options first with the Bi-State Innovations team, the playbook that was developed, Launch KC, those types of things. But I'm going to predict that the competitive advantage is really going to start with the entry of Austin, because they're going to take what we've got and build on it. We're going to take what they've got and build on it. And we're going to start to collaborate. We're going to create that fiber pipeline between two very creative cities. And we're going to accelerate the process. It's kind of like, yes, we were the first ones to have a cell phone, but the only people we got to talk to were ourselves.
Right.
Now we get somebody else at the other end of the line and we can talk, different conversation.
It's a different kind of economic development deal. Most in a typical economic development deal that Sly would work and I would work on, for instance, Nebraska Furniture Mart, if you get Nebraska Furniture Mart in the Kansas City area, you get it, and the rest of the cities don't have it.
Yeah.
Well, here, I think we became aware early on that in order for Google Fiber to realize its full potential for us, it has to spread beyond the Kansas cities.
Exactly.
That validates what ultra-high-speed fiber is all about. And so to see it's a great company to be in with Austin and Provo, Utah, and as this starts to gain momentum, which I think it will, I think it validates Kansas City's commitment here, and it's going to allow us to be even more creative against this potential.
I also think I'm going to make a prediction that within 5 years, when both Kansas City and Austin have Google and it's up and running, and the fiber is up and running, that South by Southwest will start to slowly become South by Southwest meets middle of the map.
Wow.
And the two will start to become the premier.
That would
exchanges.
Be something. That would be something.
We will have that. It's just like when Joe and I started with Google. The only way that we were ever able to get something concrete done in regionalism is because we had a product to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City and Austin now will have a product to work on together.
Huh. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll have an exit interview with Mayor Joe Reardon. Mayor Sly James has to scoot to a luncheon. Thank you so much for coming in today, Mayor. Always
My
good
pleasure.
To have you.
Always great to be here with you, Steve. Even better to be with Joe, though.
That's great to be with you, Sly.
If you missed Friday's debate about Medicaid and tax cuts between Missouri State Senators Jolie Justice and Will Krause, or the latest edition of A Fan's Notes, you can find those in all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. On tomorrow's program, we'll talk with author Cheryl Strayed and find out what it's like to hike from the Mojave Desert to Washington State all in one fell swoop. Her book is titled Wild. It's a terrific read. Cheryl Strayed on the show tomorrow. Well, we're still visiting with the mayor CEO of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County, Joe Reardon. Mayor Sly James had a dash off to a luncheon in the 18th and Vine neighborhood. Mayor Reardon, as you come to the end of your 8-year run, How are you feeling about things? Was it what you wanted it to be? Are you leaving with things left undone on the table, or how do you feel about things?
Well, first and foremost, there's still a lot of great things that need to be done and challenges there.
As but, always, right?
I don't know if I could have said that 8 years was enough for me if I didn't feel that we had moved the ball down the field. And I truly believe that Kansas City, Kansas, and Wyandotte County are on this path, and it's a path of reform that has been going on since consolidation. And we're realizing our full potential as a result of that, I think, over time. And I'm very proud of what's been accomplished. I've had so many great people and great support from our citizens and, quite frankly, taking a lot of risks and being willing to be bold about some things. And those have paid off very well for our community, and I think the future and the opportunities bode well, and I think we'll be stronger than we've ever been to meet the challenges that have existed in Wyandotte County for decades, quite frankly.
You know, Joe, what's the one thing you didn't get done that you desperately wanted to get done?
Well, I talked for the last couple of years about building a brand new sort of health and wellness center for the urban core of Kansas City, Kansas. I think that we're on a path for that to be accomplished.
Right in downtown KCK.
I'd love to have it in downtown or in one of the urban core areas right around downtown. I think it's fundamentally important to our future. If you look at, you know, our low health rankings, focusing again on making sure that people have an opportunity to be healthy, not just access to a doctor, but an opportunity to be healthy is very important. And that's the kind of thing that we really don't have in a quality way in our urban core. And I think it would be an amazing thing for our citizens. And I think that there's a potential for that to occur. I wish it would have happened faster than it has in the path that we're on.
What's the toughest part of being mayor?
Well, from a personal level, it's just finding that life balance between the demands of the job that you love as much as anything. It's been the greatest job I've had ever, and trying to meet the needs of your family. And that's probably one week you do a great job of that, and the next week you fail miserably, or at least that's how I felt as my 8 years went on. And so that from a personal standpoint, that's been tough. I think from a professional standpoint, I think the challenge of the job, and I say this in a positive way, is finding consensus, getting a lot of great passionate people that come from different perspectives that serve on a governing body to say this is where we need to go in a common way, and this is a place where we're willing to accept some risk mutually to get something done. And we've been fortunate in the 15-some-odd years that this community has had a consolidated government that we've had governing bodies that have been able to go that place, and I think that that's going to happen in the future, too.
We're visiting with Mayor Joe Reardon of Wyandotte County. You know, I was reminded during my coverage of the Wyandotte County mayor's race just a few weeks ago that, you know, Wyandotte County still is a place of such contrast, Mayor. You had such great successes out west, but the urban core still needs so much help. And I'm wondering, at the end of the next 4 years for the next mayor, is it realistic to expect dramatic changes in the urban core, or are those challenges simply going to remain for a while?
You're going to see changes in the urban core. I think two things need to happen. There really needs to be a comprehensive strategy as new revenue comes online, which will occur as the star bonds pay off in Village West, that there's a strategy about tax reduction and investment that's clear and that everyone can see, because you're not going to be able to address every issue right away. But I think our citizens deserve to have a voice in developing a strategy about how reinvestment will occur. That's number one. Number two,
but tax cuts are important.
The tax cuts are fundamentally important. Mm-hmm. We need to become the best thing we can do to have reinvestment occur is to become competitive around property taxes. And, you know, there's a lot of variables there. The federal and state government could, quite frankly, if they're not cooperative partners, could harm us in this long-term role that we want to, or the long-term plan. But barring those things, we're going to have substantial new revenue that comes in by way of the star bonds paying out in Village West. And I think we need to look at competitiveness around property tax. I've said that for 4 years at least. And then secondly, I do think we've made key investments in the core that have proven to be good ones. So, for instance, we built the first new grocery store in 30 years at 18th and I-70. And guess what? It's breaking every expectation as far as the sales are at the site.
Some folks wish it was even bigger.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the good thing is we went out for a request for proposals for another grocery store in our urban core. We've received several credible ones that are being evaluated, and Mayor Holland will be able to lead the commission on the next step. That wouldn't happen if you didn't prove success. We've got our largest urban redevelopment project across the street from KU Med. We've talked about having urban redevelopment around KU Med for maybe 30 years,
and
quite frankly,
happening.
And it's happening.
Yeah.
So,
well, Mayor, congratulations on 8 years, and thank you for sharing your time with us today, and good luck in the future.
Thank you very much, Steve, and thanks to all the citizens that gave me such a great opportunity to be their mayor. I've loved every minute of it.